The forecast for Grants Pass and the surrounding areas with an air stagnation advisory in effect until 10 a.m. on Thursday and a freezing fog advisory in effect until 10 this morning, so drive carefully. Widespread freezing fog, of course, in the forecast following mostly sunny a little later. High should be near 46. Widespread freezing fog again this evening, partly cloudy. Low should be around 32. And on Wednesday, a widespread freezing fog, partly sunny, high near 48. And on Thursday, areas of fog, mostly sunny with a high near 52. On Friday, mostly sunny, high near 44. Grants Pass's high yesterday, 47 degrees. The overnight low was 28. Sunset this evening at 5:05. Will reappear tomorrow morning at 7:39. Rogue River level this morning at 5.33 feet, falling slowly, flowing at a rate of 7,350 cubic feet a second with a turbidity reading of 2 and a water temperature of 43 degrees. Currently 32 degrees here into that freezing fog in Grants Pass. Once again, drive carefully and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Tuesday Talk Show this morning. We're glad to have you here with us. We ask that you hold your questions until after the top of the hour news, and then if you have a question or comment for our guests or a suggestion, whatever, and you want to jot this number down, 541-472-1270, and when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue, and as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. So that's the situation here. Once again, hold those calls until after the top of the hour news. In the meantime, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio from city staff today. Not Aaron Kubik, leading the way. Jason, every time you come in here, I know something's going to happen here that's going to disrupt my life.
But in a good way.
Yeah. the end result is always better. But in the meantime, correct, I'm going through detours and over bumps. And yes,
that's exactly what I was going to add. You may have to find a different way to work or something like that. But yeah, we're going to give you
works.
An update.
Public works
in the house. Absolutely. We're going to talk about some great capital projects and kind of give an initial heads up on some that are definitely going to be disrupting your drive to work. Not you personally, but some folks and your ability to get around in the downtown area.
All right. So you've ensured that my route to work is okay.
I believe we have. We checked that personally, Wade, right?
Yeah. And appreciate you almost completely fixing that hole at the top of Washington or the bottom of Washington.
So. Almost completely.
Almost completely.
Excellent. Excellent.
We do appreciate that. Yeah. So what is really happening?
So just a couple of capital project updates. Of course, tomorrow is the big thing is council will be considering the guaranteed maximum price for the water treatment plant. Mm-hmm. We gave an update to them, I want to say, about 3 weeks ago. And they said, you know, we had a couple of options for them at that time. One was to execute a bunch of smaller contracts to kind of lock in pricing on a couple of key items. And the direction at that time was no, let's just bring the whole project back for consideration. So that will be occurring tomorrow night. We're kind of excited about that. The pricing is pretty decent, a little higher, of course, than what we would like it to be. It always is. But it's not bad. And it definitely fits within the budget. What that would mean, should council approve that tomorrow night, construction would probably be starting in May/June.
Okay. May/June. I've been hearing April/May. Is it back a little bit?
We're having to push it back a little bit, mostly just because we're still finalizing some brick grant pieces, which they can be a little bit slow. And also there are some key things that have to get ordered ahead of the time for breaking ground. The key thing with the groundbreaking is, and once brick is fully executed, and this, you know, back and forth with federal agencies, that can take some time. We can't put a shovel in the ground. And so, what we really need to do is get that GMP approved, because that locks in all of our pricing. Every day we move forward in time, the pricing is changing. And unfortunately, it changes fast. It really does.
Now, when we say brick, we're talking about that brick grant. Is that right?
Brick grant is the FEMA grant.
That's the big one that we have. We have not locked it in.
It is. We have been assured that it is being awarded. We should hear the 20th is when we should have our contracts coming. The 20th of this month.
That's really looming to be a big day on all scenes.
It is. There's a lot going on here in the next couple of weeks. We're really excited. FEMA has even agreed to waive some of the big requirements because of the way most of the grant is usually situated around a buying property to mitigate it. We own the property. We're going to retain the property. So they've waived a bunch of the demolition requirements, which means we won't have to be tearing down the building. We won't have to be restoring the place back to nature. Mm-hmm. That also is huge for the project because we don't have to incur those costs immediately.
Immediately, long term, however.
Long term, you know, council may want to consider tearing down that structure. It doesn't really necessarily have a purpose anymore. It's going to be hard to repurpose, but maybe there's a group of citizens out there that want to repurpose it into a museum or some other non-critical infrastructure.
Well, it's certainly, from the outside, yes, a unique structure that is a landmark here, yeah, and is actually pleasing to the eye.
Very much so. We were very disappointed at the thought of having to tear it all down, and we were prepared to fight for that with FEMA. However, they reevaluated and did say no demolition. But as if you've been inside of it, you know that there's pipes everywhere. Turning it into some other functional type of building would be a bit of a challenge for somebody.
All right. Big challenge. Oh, well, we'll let that one go for the time being and seeing if anybody steps forward, because I don't think a city's in a position to do anything like that right now or in the near future.
No, it would be something that we would probably try to mothball the building so that it is not going to be damaged sitting there, you know, keep some air moving through it, keep some heat in it. It would be stable. Exactly. And then we would allow council, or not allow, but probably hope that council would take up, you know, what do we do long term? Because you don't want to maintain that building forever just to sit there vacant, just to be a pretty facade on the river, which it is. It's a gorgeous building. Whoever thought of building that Spanish style revival, you know, that whole Spanish building in the 1930s, wow.
And we're still talking about them today. Whoever it was.
Barr and Cunningham was the name of the engineering firm.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We have the original drawings, but it was an interesting choice for Grants Pass, especially back in 1931.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Now, tell me about my commute.
Yeah. Well, how about that Fifth Street sewer? Because I think that's going to be the most impactful.
We've talked about this before, haven't we?
We have. This is going to be a big deal.
Hi, my name is Wade Elliott. I'm the Assistant Public Works Director, and usually I do most of the capital projects, other than Jason really likes water, and it is his water plant, so he takes care of the water plant. But on Wednesday night, Council is also approving the Fifth Street Stormwater and Sewer Project, which is a replacement to replace both the sewer and the stormwater facilities. And we're going to go from almost G Street all the way down to the river. So it's kind of an interesting case. The sewer was old and wasn't working very well anymore, and this was like 40 or 50 years ago. And so they repurposed it for stormwater, because stormwater wasn't a real big thing back then, other than to get the water out of the way and get it to the river so it's not flooding people's houses. So the sewer pipe failed. They turned it into a stormwater pipe. And since then, the new sewer pipe is failing, and of course the 100-year-old stormwater pipe is almost impossible to clean. It's made out of old clay pipe. Which is really great until it starts fracturing, and then when we run a jetter or something through there, it just tears apart. So anyways, we're replacing it, and we're going to just go ahead and replace both of them. So we are awarding that. Hopefully, council has the decision to award that project on Wednesday night. And we have an apparent low contractor that will come in and work, and they're going to start the work in the first part of February. Right now, we don't have a full schedule yet because the project's not officially awarded, but likely, they're going to start at Bridge Street on 5th on the sewer line and start working its way or their way up to G Street on the sewer infrastructure. Typically, contractors will lay the pipe upstream, so they'll start the low point and lay it upwards, kind of like you would shingles. And then once they get done with the sewer pipe, they will fall back and start with the stormwater facilities. We're going to put in a new water quality manhole down at where the water outfalls into the Rogue River. And so that's a structure that catches debris and trash and some of the pollutants that might be in there that is in a facility that our crews can then come in and clean it reasonably easily. And then they will replace the stormwater pipe all the way up to almost G Street as well. The important part...
Okay, now the important part
is that this will be pretty disruptive to that area of town. The good thing is that's an older part of town, so typically older parts of town have more of a block segment style that they were built out in, and this is no different. So there will be closures. Right now we're going to have the contractor close one block at a time, and there will be detours in place. Luckily, Fifth Street isn't heavily traveled. It's all stop-controlled, but you won't be able to use Fifth Street, at least for one block at a time when they're working through there. We've left it open to the potential that if they are doing a good job and traffic's flowing okay, we may allow them to close two blocks at a time just to speed up the construction process, but we'll evaluate that as we go.
All right. Where's the starting point again? Did you say Fifth and Bridge, or Fifth? Yep. Fifth and M? And that's that strange area, right?
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. It's they're both kind of the same. I'm not sure exactly where M turns into Bridge, but it's right at that area there.
There's a strange little whoop-de-doo, for lack of a better term.
Yep.
Unless you can give me a technical one for whatever happens there.
I like whoop-de-doo.
I think whoop-de-doo covers it pretty well.
We've got a few of those in town.
All right. All right. So if you're coming down Bridge and you hit the whoop-de-doo and you make that little bend around where actually Fifth Street comes out, I think that's – I would have said M.
Yeah.
But
I think it might turn maybe at 4th Street's where it turns from M to Bridge.
Right. And so if we're talking Fifth Street, we're probably talking M. And it's going to start there. How will that affect that particular intersection, which is pretty heavily traveled?
Right. So the major connections in that area, we'll probably do night work with a detour around there to do the connection in M Street. Also, when we're up in the downtown area, so G, H, I, that corridor, that will be night work as well, so that we're not disrupting deliveries to the downtown businesses and any construction traffic. But it will have some effect on those businesses in the downtown. So we'll have it patched back during the day and open. But while we're in that area, you'll know that we're there.
In those areas, daytime traffic will still be going through, albeit a bit slower.
Yeah. Likely there will be some exposed aggregate in the trenches and things like that.
All right, so that's coming up, and that's coming up pretty quickly here if we're talking about early February.
Yep, first part of February, we'll start construction on that one.
Okay, and the first part will be at Fifth Street and Bridge M.
That's where I think we're going to start at.
Okay, how do you get it through the river from there? Because you're still several blocks away.
Well, right.
Just a strange question.
Yeah, no, great question. So, of course, the sewer at that point will go down to the water restoration plant. So it'll go along Bridge to Greenwood and
Goes
down to the wastewater plant. The storm water will continue through M Street Bridge, and it'll go down Fifth to where it kind of dead ends down there. And then it outfalls to the river, and it currently does that. But that's where we're going to put in our water quality manhole. We have several of those on the river.
So south of M Bridge won't be impacted?
Well, it will for the stormwater pipe, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it's very lightly traveled, so we'll probably just have kind of one-lane traffic with some flaggers down there. That part has a really low cars per day. It's kind of behind Hellgate in there.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very quiet.
Okay. All right. Okay, well, let's see. You haven't affected me so far yet.
Okay.
So I can still get back and forth to work with some efficiency as long as I avoid that one during the first week in February.
Sure. And then one other one I wanted to note is that I think I've been talking about it since I started this job. Allen Creek Road is actually finally going to start construction.
Sure it is.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
We got an apparent low bidder. ODOT has awarded the contract. The contractor is HB Civil, who is currently building one of our water reservoirs at the top of Windham Way over in the kind of the Clover Lawn area. They're a wonderful contractor, and we were happy that they got the bid. But they're going to start on Allen Creek in February as well, February or March. Might be late February, early March. And they're going to start with the relocation of some of the utilities, namely facilities like the Grants Pass Irrigation District. So they'll be relocating those irrigation lines to their new location, which will be eventually under the sidewalk, and then getting all of those customers plumbed back in so that they have irrigation water during the summer.
Public impact then to people living there and commuting through there.
Well, right now it should just be the people that are living there. They are definitely going to be impacted. So ODOT has a wonderful traffic control plan in place, including temporary pedestrian access routes, and they've got all kinds of drawings. I think it takes up half their plan set, how we're going to get people through there in phases. So the people that live there will absolutely be affected. They'll still be able to get into their houses at all times, and their residences, fields, all those things. But it won't really affect the commuters because that road has been blocked off at Denton Trail for the last several decades. The contractor is likely to open it up at times as they're closing portions of the road and allowing some of those residents to go out to New Hope Road using the Allen Creek Road to the south. It would be there. And then when this project is all finished, which was supposed to be in 2 years, so it won't get done this summer, but into the next summer, the contractor's working on shrinking that schedule, but right now that's what it looks like. They'll open up the barricades at Denton Trail on Allen Creek, and you'll be able to go all the way from New Hope down to Redwood Avenue, Redwood Highway, in that area.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's actually happening.
Golly, we've been talking about both of these projects for a long, long time, and now we're really going to see some action happening.
Very much so. Allen Creek has really been on the books, I don't even know, longer than you've been here.
Yeah, 2012 is when it first got funding.
Yep, so it's been a long time coming. It will be very helpful to help alleviate that South Y area eventually, but it's all part of that plan to reduce the number of trips going through the South Y.
All right, well, then, when 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that South Y is clogged.
Yes,
no
it
question,
is.
No question about it, any direction that you want to go.
Yep.
So this will alleviate that.
Well, it will help. It will take a few cars out of it. It's not going to be the silver bullet, but it's one project that will help to reduce that.
That'll take some of the traffic headed towards the Williams Highway off of that area.
Absolutely.
And get it out to the New Hope area and the Williams Highway area.
That's the goal.
Going out towards Murphy.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely.
All right. So what else you got for me? Are we done here?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Let's just go ahead and call it.
I got a whole page full of stuff here.
Oh.
So another
Wade
project.
Wade had to go and step in.
Yeah. All right. We've got another project that's currently going on, and it's a Riverside Waterline replacement, and it's between 8th and 9th Street. It's just a little one-block section that we kept repairing water line breaks in just every year, sometimes a couple of them a year. So we're replacing that water line. And so that street is currently torn up a little bit. It's a one-block section. They're currently doing water line testing right now on it to make sure that it passes all of our tests before we put it in service. And then they'll be patching it back with asphalt. We're also putting sidewalks in that little block section as well. So I don't think a lot of folks use Riverside other than the folks that live there. But if you do go there, there would be a delay or a detour in place right now.
Oh, it's in place as we speak.
Yep. Yep. They're testing the water line right now, and then they'll be paving here in the next week or two whenever the batch plant opens up.
All right. And completion date targeted as?
It'll be done within the next 2-3 weeks, I would say.
All right. There you go. All right.
Also, another one that's coming up, we're working with so Public Works has the engineering department, and we take care of a lot of the capital projects for other departments in the city. One we're working on right now is the Riverside Park Stage. And we're getting ready to put it out to bid. And so on the downstream side of Riverside Park in that kind of grassy area down there, I can't think of what that crossroad is, but it's closer to that softball field. We're going to put in the Riverside Park stage there. And it'll be a half clamshell that we can raise and lower for things like concerts in the park. And right now we are getting ready to put that out to bid. So hopefully that will be installed and ready to go by the end of May is what our target date is, so that we can do concerts in the park.
So that would return the concerts in the park to the park.
That's the hope. I have not been in on those discussions. I know it's currently at the county fairgrounds right now. So
at least that will provide a place for those to return to.
Absolutely,
all right.
Yeah.
All right. Which, give me some details on the clamshell, and you said raises and lowers. What exactly are we talking about here?
Yeah, so it's a half clamshell. I'm a baseball guy, so we had those in baseball all the time. But anyways, you can raise and lower them, so I don't know how to describe it, but it can fold all the way down, and then when you put
you're talking about
the
clamshell itself.
The clamshell itself, and then it'll go all the way up. So when it's not in use, you can fold it down and kind of protect the covering so that it isn't affected in the wintertime as badly, and it'll help make it last longer. Underneath it, we're going to have a concrete structure with a whole bunch of electrical infrastructure in there for all the things that your bands would need to come in and do the concerts in the park.
I wasn't aware that the clamshell would be movable and folding up and down. What's the lifetime projected for a piece like that? Do we have that?
I'm sure somebody does, but I don't. Yeah. I would guess that we're looking at probably 20 years or so.
Yeah.
Pretty solid then.
Yeah, pretty solid. Yeah, it's anchored into the concrete structure. It can be taken out if needed with some really large bolts. But I'd imagine maybe in 20 years you'll have to probably work on it.
All right, well, we'll be looking for that completion by the end of May.
Yeah, that's what we're shooting for.
The goal is to get it up and running before Boatneck.
Before Boatneck. All right. Well, all right. We'll take a look at it then.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back and talk to you.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Gentlemen, we're talking about public works today here on the Tuesday Talk Show on KAJO. And stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The Valley's most reliable.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Tuesday Talk Show in progress. And from the Public Works Department, Jay Sitton and Wade are in keeping us up to date on what's going on around you with your streets and your sewer and your water and everything going on in terms of the city's infrastructure to keep you up to date and informed on where you can drive and where you can't drive and how much it's going to cost you. Well, maybe not how much it's going to cost you, at least yet. But we have some more projects. We've talked about several projects so far. And there's more coming. So what's on the agenda next?
There is. I was going to talk about a couple that are like less visual but definitely impactful. A few years back, we've done several assessments on city facilities, and we've been now in the process of starting to implement that plan. One of the big projects that's currently out to bid is actually re-roofing City Hall. And making some structural modifications to the building in regards to the rain gutter system. The system is gorgeous at this, you know, the building is gorgeous, right? But it uses they call it an integral rain gutter. And what that means is that the rain gutters are kind of built into the roof and the soffit system. And so when they.
So we don't see them, but they're there.
You don't see them with. Till they fail.
Till they fail.
And then the water tends to run through the building and into the soffits, and we're having a lot of building damage as a result of it.
Oh, that's going on now then.
Absolutely, for quite a while. And so we're now in the process. We're going to replace the roof. We're going to redo the gutter system with a more conventional gutter system so it'll actually be visible. It may be a little bit less attractive, but much easier to operate and maintain. And definitely for the long haul, it'll be much better for the building. So a couple of the big changes that you'll see, we've got all that tile. That tile is going to be replaced with a metal standing seam roof. So essentially, that's a forever roof, similar to tile. Mm-hmm. But as you noticed, I do this. I stand at my window and I look out at the building. The tiles are actually starting to fail also because they do. As they get cold, they'll break, which creates problems. Metal roofing doesn't do that. So the good news is we're going to put on a lifetime roof for that building. We're going to fix the gutters. We're going to prevent all the water damage that we're getting currently, which is actually, if you look around the building when you're there and just look up, you'll see several sections of the soffit that are completely missing. It's a really important project to enhance the life of the building. Pretty neat.
And when will that start?
So that one is just out to bid. Our hope is to be able to start that this summer, get in and out, get the roof off while it's dry, get it back in place, and then they'll do all of the structural work, the soffit work and stuff a little bit later, because you can do that while it's raining, but you got to get the roof on and off while it's dry.
So hopefully we'll get the roof replaced through the summertime and be ready for the wintertime to work inside. How bad is the inside?
You know,
I mean, we're not talking some mold situations, are we?
There are some mold in some of the areas. It's all in the outside because you know that we have that big open area courtyard. So most of the mold that we do have is in those outside areas. That's why we want to get on this now and get it fixed before that migrates into the building proper. It really is important. We really got to get that gutter system fixed. They put a lot of these in the 70s because they're gorgeous, right? They make the building look better. You don't have these big gutters hanging on the outside. But as doing that, it just really led to a problem in the future with once leaks developed in them, there's no way to fix them. You literally have to tear the whole outside of the building apart to get into the gutter system to be able to do the repair and get it back in service.
During the construction, how is that going to affect people coming in and out of City Hall?
That's a great, great question.
That's my job.
It is. We're going to be working with the contractor very, very carefully to ensure that customers have a safe route in and out of the building for the duration of the project. But there are going to be times, especially when they're stripping the roof of those tiles, that there will be falling hazards. But we're going to try and minimize that time. Until we get a contractor on board and work on the schedule, we're not entirely certain. And there are three ways into that into that central area, the courtyard at the city, it is likely that only one of those areas is going to be open so that we can control where people are. That means we have one safe route in and out of the courtyard.
All right, we've talked about how that will affect the citizenry. Mm-hmm. How about the staff and the efficiency of the city government?
I have a feeling it's going to be a couple of months of really noisy work going on, and we're just going to power through it like we always do.
No choice.
No choice. Absolutely.
The job still
services still have to be provided. Citizens will still be coming in to get their permits and to pay their bills, and we'll still be doing all the work we have to do.
Dropped off my little green envelope there yesterday.
We appreciate it. Every month. But it is a neat project. It's really important. We'll also be doing the council chambers at the same time, because it has a very similar system. So they'll be doing both City Hall and the council chambers. Both buildings will be done. Hopefully by next winter, it'll be all complete.
All right. Well, we'll be watching that. Council chambers, that's almost completely separate from City Hall.
It's a separate building. As you recall, it actually used to be attached with that causeway, but that also was failing because of part of this design. And when we looked into whether or not it was cost-effective to repair or to tear that down, it just became obvious it was more cost-effective to tear it down.
How will it affect public meetings?
It should not. The work should all be done in a time. We'll make sure that it's not done on Monday workshop times, of course. And then the rest of the meetings are all kind of after hours, so it shouldn't be an issue.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to seeing that happen and hope for dry weather for that to transpire.
For summer, right? That's what we'll get is a wet summer this year.
All right. Now, here's the $64 question, and it's a money question. What's going to be the cost of that?
The roof?
Yes.
Yeah, we're estimating about $1.1 million, unfortunately. It's a very involved process, especially because we have to reconfigure the gutters. We are adding some additional insulation to the roofs to improve the energy efficiency of the building. But a lot of it really just is tied to the removal of the roof, the replacement of the metal roofing system, and then the placement of the flat roofing systems, because there's two areas up above that you can't see where all the HVAC goes that are flat that have to be redone as well.
All right. And all this, well, it's going out to bid and hopefully will be enacted this summer.
It will be, yeah. We'll be having to borrow a little bit of money internally to be able to afford to pay for that, and then the facilities group will be paying that back.
All right. Something to watch for, something to be prepared for, ladies and gentlemen, by all means. And if you have questions about anything we've talked about today, if you have potholes in your street, these are the guys to call. I just threw them right under the bus here. They're still in the studio. I've got them tied down. So we invite you to stay tuned. Take your phone calls right after the top of the hour news. Once again, that phone number, 541-472-1270. And we'll let you air your questions live. Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in Progress, ladies and gentlemen. Phone lines are open at 541-472-1270. If you have a question for our guest today, a question or comment, dial that phone. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question to our guest today. Out of the Public Works Department, Jason and Wade are both here. We have someone standing by on the phone right now. Good morning. You're on the air. Do you have a question for our guests?
Yes, good morning. I have more a recommendation or let's say a request. You were talking about that M Street where if you're going along M Street, you make the right turn to go up 4th?
Correct.
All right, you know where I'm talking. My suggestion or recommendation is to cut that sidewalk back about a foot or so people making the right turn to go up 4th Street don't have to run over the curb. It's really a tight turn when you have a lot of people following behind you pushing. I don't think it would be much of a project. I hear dead silence here. I don't think it would be much of a project just to cut that sidewalk back a little bit for people making the right turn onto 4th Street.
Jason was shaking his head, but you couldn't hear that. I think he's going to speak now.
I am, thank you. Yeah, it is a great comment. That we know that corner is a little bit awkward. The sidewalks there also are not great.
Yeah, awkward's an understatement.
That's very fair, yeah. It's something that we are looking at. We are in the area where we have to coordinate that work with ODOT because it is within so many feet of the 6th Street intersection. But it is a project that is on our horizon, but we don't have any anything identified immediately, but we will definitely keep that in mind. Wade, you also want
to... Well, I'm glad I don't have to drive that route every day, but whenever I do, I'm always a little, cautious, I guess, in making that right turn because I'm worried about somebody plowing into my rear end.
Gotcha. We appreciate that. Wade?
Yeah, and I would say that that project is in our...
I can't hear you.
That project is in our transportation system plan as well. So that area needs to be reconstructed. And so we're kind of looking at that. We're trying to get funding in place. The main issue is that it is tight and awkward, like you said, and there's no way to get bicyclists through there. There's just not enough room. So it's on our horizon. We'll take a look at it. Thank you.
All right. It's on your to-do list, so to speak.
It is.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your call, sir. Appreciate that. All right. Yeah. I come from the other direction. I come down 4th Street to that very same intersection, and I can certainly understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
Because if you're facing a line of traffic, they're coming around there at more than 20 miles an hour, which is the speed limit.
It is a tough one, and that is that, what did we call that, joggy area just a few minutes ago? The whoop-de-doo. It is, and we've recognized it for quite a while. It's just really isn't a good plan yet, and we need funding to be able to pay for that. So
I don't know how that could be fixed at all anyway.
I'm sure it's going to be creative. The problem is also that the buildings are very, very, very close to the edge of the right-of-way, so you don't have a lot of room to maneuver there. So it's going to be a challenge, whatever we end up coming up with.
Yeah, and there's some protected trees there also.
Oh, there are, yes. There, yeah, right in that same area.
Okay, all right. And at any rate, thank you for your call, sir. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, 541-472-1270. Yeah. If you have a question or comment, or you want to get something done, these are the guys that will get it done. They affect your life every day, whether you know it or not, and they're not always up front here. But we've got them on the seat for you
today. Yeah. Well, it actually leads right into something that I wanted to talk about, which is if you see something, say something. I know that sounds like a kind of cliche, but we run with very, very limited staffing, and so we can't know about all of the problems out there in the city. And we really do rely on the citizens seeing problems and reporting those to us. And I know it may seem like we don't always get things fixed as fast as people would like, but we're out there trying very, very hard, especially items like potholes. Mm-hmm. We don't drive every road every day, so we don't see where those potholes develop. Streetlights, it's very hard for us to know where a streetlight goes out, and the citizens report that to us. We can get those turned in and repaired. It's really important. Other things like our street sweeping. About a year and a half ago, we changed street sweeping companies. Actually, it was bought out by Southern Oregon Sanitation from the original owner, Dan, who did an amazing job for years. The new company, we believe, is doing a tremendously good job. But if people know about stuff and they can report that to us, we can definitely take care of getting those things repaired.
All right. We have another call coming in. Good morning. You're on the air. You have a question for our guests?
Yes, I do. Good morning. Just curious, I've tried calling both the city and the county for a drain issue on Caffney, on the south side of town here, specifically on the west flank of the roadway as you're either traveling north or south on Caffney there, between Fruitdale and Grandview. There is a stretch of about 400 yards of that side drain ditch that is all the pipes are completely plugged up. That drive, that go across the driveways. And most of those folks in those properties are all in their 80s and 90s. They just can't get out there and clean those things out. Is there something that somebody can do that for the citizens? Because that roadway, that water overflows off the side of that drain ditch into the roadway and just creates a lot of heavy water on top of the road surface.
And it's the ditch on Gaffney that has plugged culverts, is that?
Exactly, yeah. There's like the 12-inch concrete pipes that generally underneath the driveways of the properties.
Yeah, we can definitely look into that. This is the first I've heard of it, but let me we'll make a phone call and see if there's anything that can be done either by the county or the city. I believe that's a county jurisdiction road, but I'm unclear. It might be city jurisdiction. So
exactly. And I keep getting that, that nobody really quite understands really who is to manage that. And the other question is basically the same sort of thing. You know, 35, even up to probably 20 years ago, the county, because I was annexed in from Josephine County into the city limits here where I live on Mayfield Drive, they used to come out every couple of years with a large excavating kind of machine that would clean out all the drain, the side...
the ditches on the side?
Ditches, yeah. And those haven't been touched in 20-plus years, and they are all completely filled with weeds, debris. I pick up all the garbage along the route, but there's very little flow of water. When it rains hard, it gets quite ugly on Havland, Grandview, Mayfield, Monroe especially is a bad spot. Do they not do that service anymore, cleaning out those drain ditches?
Well, a lot of those roads have been turned into the city. So when they were annexed, the city took over jurisdiction of those roadways. The only ones that are outstanding from that agreement are things that are classified as collectors or arterials in our transportation system plan. So smaller streets like Gaffney would have been turned over to the city, likely. I'd have to take a look at it, or Mayfield as well. And the city typically takes care of enclosed pipe systems. So we've got jetter trucks and we've got TV cameras and things to take care of that, vac trucks. But we are looking into getting some equipment, some smaller excavators to clean out some of those roadside ditches that we've inherited from Josephine County.
Yeah, okay, because this part of the community just hasn't been touched in that regard for quite a long number, at least 20 years. And I go out and take a shovel on the heavy rains, and there's a side drain ditch on Havlin that meets Grandview, and I will clean out all of the debris that's running up against those steel barrier that kind of protects the drain system from getting all the weeds and the stuff that flows through. And it's just amazing what I'll pull out, the amount of green waste, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, the vegetation. Well, first off, thank you so much for actually doing that. I hope your neighbors appreciate it. I know that we do. It definitely helps. But we'll definitely look into this, and we appreciate the feedback.
Well, thank you. Appreciate the chat.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Thank you very much for your call. So we do appreciate that. That brings to mind something else, because I know there's an area there's a way to adopt streets that civic organizations could step forward and adopt a ditch. Has that ever been? Is that possible, or is that something you don't want them touching?
I would say no. You adopt a street, you could definitely pick the trash out of the ditches that are there, but really we're just looking for the collection of roadside debris. It really is beneficial to the stormwater system to have folks out there picking up trash. As you know, it just ends up everywhere, and we really do appreciate the civic groups that participate, and we get quite a few photos from folks who are out doing cleanup events, and we try to share those on with the community to get more interest, and if you're interested, reach out to us at Public Works at 541-450-6110, because we would love to hook you up with a street segment or two.
Oh, okay. So there is a way to get that done and get those older people that he was talking about some assistance there.
Absolutely.
Whether it's through the city or a benevolent organization.
Yeah, and the specific issues that he mentioned, we would have to look into that regarding the ditch cleaning. We traditionally at the city have not dealt with open ditches. It's not been what we do, as Wade was saying. Those generally have been handled by the county, but it's definitely something we can evaluate and make it a judgment moving forward.
Yeah. And the frontage is the responsibility of the homeowner to take care of, similar to a planter strip or something like that. Open ditches kind of fall in that as well. So what we end up seeing happen a lot is that people will go in there once a year after all of the, you know, the timothy grass gets 8 feet tall, and then they'll weed whack it down and then leave it in the ditch instead of removing it from there. And then when the high water event comes in, all that dry grass or vegetation will get washed down and then plugs up somewhere downstream, which I think is what that caller was alluding to.
Yeah.
So it gets – anyway, so I guess as you're cleaning those, weed whacking it, remove the vegetation. That's
Depends on where downstream you are or if you're upstream.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. But there's some older people there evidently who might need just a little help cleaning those out themselves.
Absolutely. And that's understandable.
All right. You were talking about the street sweepers when that call came.
Yeah, just in general, we really appreciate feedback that we get from the citizens. We just finished leaf season, which is the worst time for the street sweepers. Don't get me wrong.
I know one, yes.
Yes, it really is hard for them to do their job during leaf season. And so we actually give up the schedule for several months just because they have to be all over the place hitting high traffic areas and where the leaves fall. But it is very important to note that the street sweeper is not there to pick up leaves in the street. That is not what they're there for. They do end up picking up a lot of leaves, but the ones that fall in the road. But we really don't want folks putting all their leaves into the road for them to pick up.
Don't blow your leaves into the road. That is against Kess City Code.
It is, and it plugs up the street sweeper like nobody's business. But that being said, we're always looking for feedback on how the street sweepers are doing. It's our perception from Public Works side is that it's been they're doing a great job. We don't get a lot of complaints, which means that's good, right? Because that means that they're out there getting the streets cleaned. When we do have questions, they're able to provide us with great feedback now. The trucks are all now GPS tracked. So if you have a question on whether or not the unit was in your neighborhood on a certain day, we're actually able to pull that or have them pull that GPS data up for us and show them that, yes, they were or they were not on your street.
Their schedules and routes are also published.
Their schedules and routes, and you can actually sign up to be notified that they're going to be in your neighborhood on a certain day. And the reason we do that, we really want people to get their cars off of the streets on street sweeping day. That lets the street sweeper be more effective. So instead of driving around your car to get back to the curb line, they're able to keep going up the curb line and get all that dirt and debris picked up.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you're still listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. We thank you very much for that. Ways to go yet. We've got Public Works in studio today, so we're going to take just a little break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in progress. The number is 541-472-1270 on your radio to get to this radio station, as a matter of fact. City Public Works are in studio here. We've got Jason and Wade answering all your questions here and providing us with lots of information. We've got about 9 minutes left, a little less than that, as a matter of fact, coming into this one. And I know there are some big projects out there we hit early. Do we need to recap those? What do people really need to take away from today's show, Jason?
There's a lot of work out there. Sign up to be notified by our e-delivery system through the city. That's the best way to stay current on where the road closures will be or where there might be traffic delays, what projects are being awarded. A couple of other smaller projects that we didn't mention that are still going on that have great impact. Meadowood Reservoir, we've been talking about that for a little bit. It's a new reservoir up here in the northwest.
Southwest.
That's it. The other one. I am directionally challenged. I am not allowed to navigate. I'm just going to be really honest with you on this one.
Took the words out of my mouth.
Southwest, yes. Thank you very much.
He was pointing in the correct direction.
I was. It's right there. It literally is. However, on our website, if you go to grantspassoregon.gov and go to our current capital project page, citizens are actually able to watch that live. That project is going on, and there's a live updated feed, and you're able to see the contractors building that tank. It's actually pretty amazing. The contractor, HP Civil, they've subbed out the tank construction to SCAR, and they are doing an amazing job. They're actually just forming up now to put the roof on the tank, which is pretty cool. And then once the roof is on, they'll be coming down and winding it, the pre-stressing cables around it. That reservoir is going to be a godsend to us in that area. There's so many houses now, and they're all running off of what we call closed-loop pump stations, which means when you turn on a hose in your yard, we turn a pump on to supply the water. Now it's going to be coming out of a tank.
Oh, so Thank you, Gravity.
Yep, thank you, Gravity. This is going to be an amazing project. We've been working on it for quite a while, and it's going to fit in with the neighborhood up there. It's going to blend right in. We've kind of stained everything decomposed granite color, for lack of a better word, but it's just going to disappear, but it's going to really provide much better service to all the people that are in that system.
And close to completion?
I'm guessing late summer. They're ahead of schedule, but it looks like late summer that tank's going to be complete. That's exciting.
Oh, okay. All right.
That on the water side.
That takes care of the southwest portion of the water there. Yeah.
Yep.
And we're all pointing in the correct direction.
We are.
Yes. Wait, you guys have some more.
Yeah,
just a few upcoming projects that we are in the design phase on that'll be coming out likely this summer. One of them is the Mill Street sewer replacement. So this project is going to replace the sewer from on Mill Street near Home Depot where the railroad tracks crosses there, mm-hmm. and then go south all the way to M Street. And this is kind of a critical area for us. It's been over capacity for quite a while. There's a bunch of 90-degree corners with these little weird bypass pipes in them that aren't handling the flows that we get very well anymore. So our master plan showed that we needed to upsize that and take out some of those 90-degree corners, and that's what this project is going to do to add capacity to the line.
How is it going to affect the public, those?
Well, sewage, as long as you don't see it, everything's going well. And so we're hoping that you don't see it.
And we concur. I was talking about traffic.
Oh, traffic. Yeah. Traffic, I would say if you're sneaking into the mill, to Home Depot, the back way through like J Street and Mill, there will be some delays that way. If you stick to E and F and come down Mill Street that way to get to, the Grants Pass Shopping Center or Home Depot, that'd probably be the best route. Yeah. And that'll be taken care of this summer sometime. We're going to put it out to bid here within the next month.
Is that any way connected with the water treatment plant that's going on over in that general area off the end of J Street, or will that impact it or be part of it?
It will, yeah, because they are going to be hooking into that system, which was already at or potentially over capacity. So this project will upsize it to accommodate the flows from the water treatment plant as well.
So everything's interconnected.
Unfortunately, yes, it is.
So that's one big project coming up. Another one is that we just started the design on our next overlay package. And so we're going to be overlaying D Street from Mill to Foothill. It's a long section there. But D Street is a really major east-west connector, similar with A Street that gets between that kind of northeast part of town. And it's been just getting absolutely hammered. A lot of pavement cuts in there from people developing or utilities getting reconstructed. And it's just falling apart, especially by the shopping center. So we are going to go in and overlay that. It's going to be a long section. There's a bike lane on there that's going to get restriped. And then per the state's rulings, we need to upgrade each one of the ADA ramps along that section, which happens to be in the mid-20s in number. So it's a lot of ADA ramp work along there as well, which is time-consuming and expensive, both from a construction and a design perspective. But it's also a requirement, so that's one of the projects we're working on. When that happens, you're going to want to stick to the Parkway and E and F, and A Street is also just a few blocks to the north of there, and avoid D Street for that period of time.
Time frame for that one yet?
That one will probably be in summer. The July to August range.
Just this summer.
Yeah, it'll be the end of the summer.
Oh, okay.
Likely they'll start working on the ADA ramps first, and then they'll be working on that for about a month until they get those all done, and then they'll come through and do the grind and inlay, overlay, paving work.
All right, well, we'll watch for that. All right, we're coming down here towards the end of the program. Let me see here. Jason,
yep.
Is there anything else that we need to take away from today's program in the last couple of minutes here?
No.
And make sure we have phone numbers that we need.
Absolutely. So bear with us. Supply chains are crazy right now. They have been since COVID, and they just still are not recovering. Also, a lot of our stuff is really old out in the city. And so when we go to order parts, sometimes they have to manufacture them just because they're nearing obsolescence. When people report stuff and we don't get it fixed right away, it's not because we haven't taken action. Oftentimes, it really is that we're waiting on parts, especially lampposts, like some of the decorator lampposts that we were waiting 6-8 months sometimes for delivery on those. It really is tough on us. But what we really want people to take away is report it, because if We may not have seen it, but if you report it to us, we'll get it in the queue to get it repaired. Granted, we may not get it fixed as fast as people think we should, but we are working on it. I guarantee it. And what we encourage you to do is call the Public Works admin line, which is 541-450-6110. Or report it through our web portal. We get a lot of reports that way, and we're out there working on stuff every day.
All right. Are all these projects outlined on your web portal?
Not a lot of the future projects are. Yeah. Some of the larger ones like Allen Creek are.
Or the ones that are currently happening?
Yep. Currently happening are on there, yeah.
All right. And that website is?
www.grantspassoregon.gov. And then you just look for the current projects page. Under engineering.
All right, gentlemen. Once again, hit those phone numbers one more time for me.
541-450-6110. That's the Public Works admin line. That'll get you right to us. Susan, who's taking those calls, will get you hooked up, and we'll get on it.
All right. Gentlemen, I want to thank you very much. It's been an interesting and entertaining program today. And Jason, we'll get you a compass.
Yeah, I could use it. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks. You've been listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO
Who's
Radio.
Who's trying to stretch?